Sam Darnold will receive MVP votes this season.
That's an overreaction.
Yeah, that's an overreaction.
I'm honestly...
Front runner's Josh Allen, right?
Yeah.
Like right now, 3 weeks in, heading into four is Josh Allen.
For sure. For sure.
How much are we buying Sam Darnold? Or is he just in the right system where like the coach does not let him do too much?
I'll buy. Yeah, if we're playing the stock game again, I'll buy right now. I'm not expecting a massive return, but I also don't think he's the terrible quarterback that we've seen in New York and in Carolina. Yeah. I think he's something closer to what we're seeing right now.
Yeah,
a lot like we're seeing with Geno. If you bought Geno early in Seattle, you got a nice little return. You're not retiring, but you got a nice little return. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Sam Darnold is. I think Sam Darnold in the Geno path is very possible / likely.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I'm buying, and I know what Jesse means when he says it, but yeah, it's perfectly fine. He's with the right coach and the right system. Like that's fine. Like be the best you with the best pieces around you that you can be. I bet there's a lot of quarterbacks. There's a good number of quarterbacks who could be more of a winning quarterback, productive quarterback, if they had the right personnel around them. And I don't just mean players, like the right play caller, the right person, the coach around them that understood, the right defense on the other side of the ball. I think that plays a lot into the success or failure of a quarterback. So it seems like he's in a good spot right now. Like, do you think Josh Allen is special, right? Like, he's really good. Do you think he'd be good with Urban Meyer as a coach?
I don't think anyone would be good with Urban Meyer as a coach.
That's what I'm saying.
I think Joe Montana would have been the worst draft pick in history if he had played for Urban Meyer. Tom Brady would have never seen the football field if he played for Urban Meyer.
I don't mean to lie.
In the pros. In college, maybe we're talking about something totally different. In the pros, no.
I don't mean to laugh at this, but on Aaron Hernandez's show, Urban Meyer.
Yeah, that's a tough segue, well, buddy. No, that is tough right there.
They Urban Meyer have had his first episode. He's getting mad and he's like,
Would he have a heart attack?
Yeah, did he take a knee?
He was in a chair, so he didn't. But he was like,
okay.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Okay, I'm not watching this.
I was like,
were you being serious? That really happened?
Yeah. I'm like episode with two.
Okay.
He got mad at something. He's like, I can't believe there's.
This is the bit throughout the show. Urban Meyer has a chest pain randomly throughout different points of the show.
I'm not watching this nonsense. I'm not watching that.
I just lost a recruit.
It's clipped without the racism, only some murder. No, I'm good, man. That does not sound appealing.
My whole thought was, I know, like, that's part of Urban's story. I don't know why it's in Aaron Hernandez.
Well, you got to. Well, one, what if they want to make the Urban Meyer story later? You can call back on this moment. And two,
so it's going to turn into the power verse?
No. You know what it is? No. I can tell you exactly what it is. Because this is the OJ people, right?
Yeah.
You remember in OJ where, come on, man. What is his name? Robert Kardashian, the attorney, is on TV giving a statement. They flash to his family. His little girls are sitting around going, that's daddy on TV. One day, I want to be on TV.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Kimberly, stop it.
Come on.
It's the same people. That's what this is. You don't remember that scene?
That's
what it is. They want you to know, hey, we're locked in on everything. Urban Meyer has chest problems. He's got health issues. We're going to show you that.
Urban is going to have a scene where he cuts the chest pain or whatever, and then it goes dark or whatever, and it cuts back to him in a jag shirt, and that's going to start the next show for them.
Filling on some girl's booty.
Well, ow.
I didn't want to curse there. And for whatever reason, I didn't.
No, it was way funnier that you said booty. Way, way funnier.
But they
now what they're really going to do is Urban's going to grab, oh, coach, you okay? Yeah, I'm good. Everybody leaves the room and he just goes, all right. Straightens up and just get back to work. All right, got them out of here.
I think it was like his wife was complaining about some because people were getting arrested and stuff, the players. And his wife was...
Urban's wife?
Yeah, I think it was his wife. It said something, and she was, like, questioning him. And he was, like, he was trying to defend himself. He was like, no, it's...
Okay, this sounds... I just want you to recognize how weird this might sound on the radio. Two, I guarantee you at some point, Urban's going to be dancing with a co-ed in this show.
Have we gotten a Tebow appearance yet?
Oh, Tebow's in there. Yeah, heavy.
Oh, yeah.
What's he like?
Come
on, Aaron. Guys, let's get together. We can do this.
He doesn't get a lot of lines. It's just Tebow. It's Tebow. Tebow's also at a party, you know, and he's talking to some girlies.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Well,
so.
Oh. Always heard there were aspects of the Tebow gimmick that could work.
Well,
the way
they had Tebow in the, like, he didn't have a scene in the party. Uh-huh. There was like Aaron Hernandez and Pouncey. They were like, look at Tebow over there. He was talking to two honeys, and he was like talking like he didn't seem like somebody who was shy talking to the honeys.
Nah, that's what I said. I heard there were aspects of the gimmick that were at work. That's all I'm saying. I don't know that the Tim Tebow public persona was a shoot.
So Soren said, and he is right, though. I will say that the Urban Meyer casting is pretty good. Yeah, he's pretty good.
They're promoting the hell out of it. I guess I'll watch it.
It's a solid show. Like, it's solid. I don't want to make it like it's great or nothing, but I haven't. I haven't looked at it like I'm not watching this trash no more.
Is there a Menendez Brothers? There is.
It's the number one show on Netflix right now.
Okay, so I thought I saw that the other night when I was looking for the Mr. McMahon doc at 9 o'clock. I think I had seen some people tweeting about that. Did this whole thing happen because have you watched it?
No. I've never even really even looked into that. Like, I know, like, the basics of it.
So I know the basics of it, too. Like, I'm talking the surface.
Yeah.
But someone tweeted, I need to know if it's real, that this whole thing happened because one of the brothers told their therapist, the therapist was having an affair with someone, unloaded everything that was going on with his clients, and the woman he was having the affair with told the authorities.
Oh, I have no clue.
So whether that's real or not, it was in the show, and I think people were trying to figure out if that's really how they got caught.
Wow. I thought you meant the reason why they did what they did was because of that. So after they did that, he went and told the therapist that he did that.
Yes, that's the gist of what I got. And then the woman told the police.
Wow.
Or the therapist had his little booty call, told the girl. The girl was like, yeah, that don't sound right. We going. Manny says that's how it happened. It was on a podcast. Well, I don't know. That's a weird sentence, but I actually believe him.
Yeah, that's wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Okay.
Just wow.
I guess there's a lot of shows I got to watch out there.
Isn't it crazy? Like, true crime is just a thing now, too.
Oh,
we're just
crazy.
All in on serial killers and just all those stories.
I don't know what started it. I just remember that Serial podcast went crazy. Where they did a story on, like, this guy who allegedly killed, like, his classmate. And then eventually, I think the podcast got him released.
Mm.
There's
been stories about that, too. Like, not just that specific, but, like, people got released off that stuff.
Yeah, I think there's still stories about that particular podcast going on right now.
Jeez. Goodness gracious.
This one. Adnan Saeed, that one.
I remember hearing about the Serial podcast. I never listened to it, though.
It's a good podcast. Like, someone said it. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And I was like, oh, this is interesting.
What did start, though? Was it First 48? Was it...
Man, I don't know.
Was it Cops?
I don't know if it was Cops.
What's that of the show? Nightline, they call it NBC?
Dateline.
Yeah.
Cops, yeah, they did do
Cops
a lot
might
of it,
Cops might have started reality TV.
Do you think Cops wasn't real? I mean, I don't know either way.
I think it was real-ish. Mm-hmm. Probably more real than anything we see on TV now.
Yeah.
I don't think your beloved Housewives is the most reality driven.
Well, I wouldn't say beloved housewives.
I heard you were starting a podcast. That's what I heard. That's what the streets was saying.
I'll be part of a podcast.
That's what I heard.
I'll be part of one if it gets developed, sure. Mm-hmm. But it'll
Katie
be,
and KC coming to a podcast near you.
It'll be kind of like what you talked about, but in reverse.
I don't know what that means.
I'll just pop in, not knowing anything about anything. Okay. It's just like, oh, look at Giselle.
What do you think about Debo being out there? Is that a positive sign, or he just? I'm trying to get like further details on it. There's not much because media is only allowed out there for like a certain portion of practice. Obviously, they all saw Debo tweeted that he was out there, and they thought he would miss a couple of weeks. Obviously, he's missed one game. He didn't practice yesterday, but he was out there, and he was. He wasn't out there in 49er shorts.
Yeah,
he was out there in pads.
I would. It's a good sign for his health or whatever. I'd be cautious.
Got back
with
before
it.
Russell Wilson did.
Man,
that's uncalled for. I apologize.
I ain't even heard nor seen from Russell Wilson in about 3 weeks.
Russ probably healthy at this point, but they're just telling him, nah, bro.
No, man, it don't look right, dog.
It's torn, Russ. I don't know what you want it to do.
It's torn. Do you see me over here doing jumping jacks?
No, you tore your Achilles, Russ. Just sit down, buddy. Sit down.
Look, I can dunk.
You gonna do it? What do you do? An under the legs dunk?
He's like Zion when they were saying Zion was hurt.
We'll come back. We've got game number two.
We got game number two, and I want to hit that thing that's at. I got a take. I want to know what you talk about, what you think about it.
Okay. Well, it's your job to not forget, pal, because I'll definitely forget. So Kenny's take in game two of the top 20 games of the Kings season. That's coming up here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to my man Andrew with Premier Pools. If you're listening, I see you, baby.
Hey.
I see you, baby. Yes, sir. Okay, what's your take?
Okay, so earlier today, Sac State had a press conference and announced that they have the funding to build a new 25,000 seat football stadium. And I was on Wax yesterday saying it, and this I just felt even better after hearing this news. Mm-hmm. They're going to FBS. They're going to the Pac-12 or the Mountain West. And I always thought it was going to be the Mountain West. After some recent revelations, like it's kind of hard to keep up with this stuff, but Pac-12 might not be getting UNLV. Mm. Mm. They might, Sac State might mess around and get in the Pac-12.
Mm.
They might mess around and get there. I always thought it was Mountain West, but the tea leaves, and if you just see how everything is playing out, there's not a lot of schools for the Pac-12 to pull from if UNLV, and I forgot the other team, is staying in the Mountain West. I think, and this is the take, I think if Sac State finishes the deal, goes to FBS, gets in the Pac-12, and I'll even say this for the Mountain West, if they get in the Mountain West, it is the second biggest sports story this city's ever seen, right behind the Kings. You're getting real, no disrespect to right now, but you're getting real big time college football in this city. And I was trying to figure out where college football and college basketball lie. It's not the pros, obviously, although by the day it's getting closer to pro sports.
Yeah.
But it's not the pros. But it's not the River Cats either. It is, I think it's
bigger.
It's bigger than River Cats. I think it's bigger than the Republic. I think it's bigger than the USL. I think, Jesse, maybe you can help me out on this. I think if they go to the Pac-12, it would be bigger than the Republic going to the MLS.
Depends on how big the Pac-12 is. I don't know.
Yeah, and I depend on who you ask.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Jesse has his reservations about that.
Or it's just like, it's not the Pac-12 old.
It's not.
Yeah, but it's still college football. It's major, major college football. I think that's the
difference. I mean, it just depends on like what college football means to him.
Like
what
Alabama's coming to Sacramento. Like that's
cracks me up.
That's what we're talking about. Cross, if anyone can get it done, it's President Luke Wood. Ohio State is coming to Sacramento. Here comes Ryan Day, assuming he makes it another year.
I also preference that, and I know I'm sensitive to the day, but I also preference that saying the A's coming here. I don't look at them as being a Sacramento team. I'm still working on the premise that they're here temporarily.
Somebody else, yeah.
But I think getting in the Pac-12, even if you're not. Even if it's not the Pac-12 of old, it puts you in position to, you can play in the college football playoff.
Mm-hmm.
You can win the Pac-12 and play in the college football play. Mm-hmm. And we joke about it. You can win the Pac-12 and play against Ohio State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think if they're able to pull this off, which I think they will, there's a number of different reasons. Like I said, I haven't really talked to nobody about it, so it's really just kind of my intuition. But I think for sure they're pulling this off. And, yeah, if they can do this, them going to FBS and being in the Pac-12, or I feel the same even for the Mountain West, but if they got into the Pac-12, that'd be the second biggest – that'd be right behind the Kings is the biggest sports acquisition move or whatever this city's ever seen.
And you wanted my response to that?
Yeah, do you agree?
Yeah. It's easy work. I wish I could, like, yes, Kenny, and here's why. No, I don't think this is a no-brainer for what we just joked about. Like, Ohio State is coming. Michigan's coming. Like, this could be a big deal. And I think one, like, I see Ramsey. Where's Ramsey? And never question, you know, Ramsey's ability to assess sports in this area. Northern California doesn't value college sports. But I'll ask Ramsey to hold on 1 second right there, because you look at Cal, you look at San Francisco, you look at the Bay Area, you look at Southern California, you look at kind of just a ton of options, right? You've got the Warriors and the Sharks and the Earthquakes, and you've got the A's. Well, sorry, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You had the A's and the Giants, and you had the San Francisco 49ers. For a while, you had the Raiders. You had all of that stuff in that area. Then you've got the Rams, and now you got the Chargers, and you got the Lakers, and you got the Clippers, and you got the Dodgers, and you got the Angels, and you got UCLA, and you got USC. You got all of these different things. Here, you got the Kings. Mm-hmm. And then at a different level, you have the Republic. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, now we're going to experience this Major League Baseball thing for the first time. If my timing is correct and the A's Vegas thing works the way it's laid out, which there's absolutely nothing that indicates that's happening, but let's play along.
Yeah.
The Sac State Pac-12 move is in that time frame.
Yeah.
When the A's are gone.
Right.
Would be gone.
I think they'd be here for a year by the schedule. They'd be here for a year or two together.
They'd overlap together?
Yeah, because I think it's 2027.
For Sac State?
Yeah. The Pac-12 wants to operate as, you know, the conference they're trying to be, I think, by 2027. So I think it gives everybody 2 years that they're trying to bring in and all this other stuff. I think before, when this first came out, I thought, nah, Pac-12, it's cool that they're trying to do that. It's ambitious. I dig that. But they'll probably end up in the Mountain West. I think I still think that's where they'll end up, but I think there's actually a decent chance they get in the Pac-12. I think that at the very least,
I'm going to ask someone who might know.
They have an argument. They have a legit argument to present to the Pac-12 people.
Let's get Mitch in here. Mitch loves talking about the Pac-12. Mitch from New Jersey. Loves talking about the Pac-12. What's up, Mitch?
How's it going, D-Lo? Casey, what's happening?
What's up, man?
What are you? Did you get that hat from the player that was released with full bats short of $200,000?
No,
curious.
Man. It's Sacramento's own, Elk Grove's own, man. Rowdy Tails, excuse me. No, I didn't, man. I was messed up.
I hope the Dodgers can pick him up. They can use all the hitting they can get, but at least.
What you mean you need hitting? You got Ohtani and Mookie Betts. See, that's a problem with you guys. You guys, no, you don't need more. succeed or fail. That's all that needs to happen at this point. And I think you're going to fail again. It's that time of year.
Now, you don't think you want, you hope, but it's okay. Hey, I'm like, I know I see all the stuff in the chat room. Damon, you okay? Or anyway, isn't Sacramento West enough to be in the Pac-12? I hope Sacramento State can get this division. They only need one more team to have eight, right, to be a conference. I love it. I think Washington Cougars are going to win the Pac-12 title this year. That's just my opinion.
There is no Pac-12.
And how you liking Sam Darnold, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams? I know you got something to say to that, especially you, Damon. Casey, you're never short for words.
That's why he's the GOAT. That's why he's the GOAT.
What just happened?
I don't know, bro.
You're the truth, Mitch. You're the truth.
I don't know.
You're the truth, man.
Mitch got you, bro. Bro, okay. I think he was looking for your thoughts.
On what, like, why would I have such a strong...
I don't know. He brought up the chatty house.
I think he called it the chat room.
Yeah, the chat room. He brought up the chat room. Excuse me. He brought up the chat room and said some. I didn't get the connection there.
All right. We love you, Mitch.
What are your thoughts on Sam Darnold and the Pac-12 quarterbacks that are in the NFL, I guess?
And he only said USC quarterbacks. He talked about the Pac-12 quarterback, and he only mentioned USC quarterback.
I think Alfonso, you were just punked, I think.
Well, maybe that's it. I just got punked by Mitch.
Oh, man.
Okay. We have to get to game number two.
Yes.
The top 20 games of the Kings season. We have game number two here from my man Casey.
This one is a classic. November 28th.
Mm-hmm.
In-season tournament. Pool play. The Warriors came to town and took an L, 124-123 to your Sacramento Kings. So many things going on in this game. Mm-hmm. Boy, oh boy. Oh boy. Let's go with the particulars. Numbers-wise, maybe the worst game of the season for Domantas Sabonis?
Yeah, not good. Very bizarre. Very odd to see on the stat sheet.
Yeah, 9 points. Now that I think about it, 9 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists. Was this his last game before the double-double streak started? His last non-double-double?
Oh, it must be, right?
Wow.
It's got to be.
They were 16 games into the season.
No, it's not. The next one is, because the next one, they lost to the Clippers.
Oh, they got beat down.
Domas, this is incredible. Domas had 11-5 in that game.
Damn. Wow. But yeah, that's the first thing that jumps off. But obviously, big time games from De'Aaron Fox, 29.7 assists.
Just taking a quick look, that had to have been the last one. Because that streak went on forever.
Yeah, yeah. Malik Monk, 21 points on the night, including the game-winning shot in the lane, off the backboard.
Just trash. Just trash. Like, no, what is that? Oh, Malik.
Oh, man, what a moment. Golden 1 Center went crazy. And like I said, there were so many things that went on. One of the things that went on is I don't think – I was trying to go back on the Warriors side of things. This was not Draymond's first game back. Was it his first game back? Because I know we had always joked.
First game back was against Sacramento.
Oh, man. I couldn't remember if he had one before that.
What? And then this was the Tech game, right?
He got a Tech. He got a Tech.
The Kings were down 20, what was it, 24 in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, they were getting beat down. They made a little comeback or whatever, and then they got it to maybe like 11, and then Draymond loses his head again, gets a technical foul, and that gets the Golden 1 Center's crowd going crazy. And then he commits a stupid foul on De'Aaron Fox. Crowd goes even crazier. Steve Kerr gets him out of the game. He said, yeah, you got to.
Turns out crying with Steve Kerr in the man cave didn't really do much good.
I think Draymond, that was his second game back. He came back against the Grizzlies.
Oh.
That, yeah, because I remember. Because I remember we talked about that, though, because we were lining up the games. We were like, his first game is going to be back against Sacramento. The NBA knows what they're doing or whatever.
That's 100% certain. Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Right.
It didn't play. I remember it didn't play out that way.
Okay.
But yeah, like you said, they were down 24 at one point. And then you had the drama of the in-season tournament. We looked like we were going to be a lock for the in-season tournament when they beat Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, the Warriors won their game. And this became a loser leave town.
Yep.
So that happened. And it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, man, I was at this game. I know it's just the in-season tournament, but the Warriors are about to knock us out of something again. Like, this is crazy. Unbelievable comeback from the Kings.
Okay, so real quick, just what day is this game?
November 28th.
This was definitely his first game back.
Okay.
I'm looking at it
November
right now.
November 28th, how many suspensions did he have? Because I saw that he came back January 15th against the Grizzlies. Which suspension are we talking about?
That might have been a different suspension.
So look.
That was a different suspension.
So this is what happened. That suspension was after he hit Nurkic, and we kept saying, are they going to have him come back against the Kings
again? Yep.
So this may be the first time he came back and it was against the Kings. They're like, oh, he's going to do it again. But no, he came back against
the Grizzlies. This was his suspension for choking Rudy Gobert.
Bro, if we got your suspensions mixed up. Come on, you're doing too much, bro.
You were looking at the wrong suspension.
I literally looked up Draymond Green's first game back last season, and that's the one that popped up.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Man.
Wrong suspension.
Yeah, but that's just Draymond, I guess.
And I was looking like, what is this suspension? And there it is, Golden State, Minnesota. Ah, it's that one.
It's just Draymond being Draymond.
Yeah, so his first game back after the rear naked choke on Rudy Gobert was, in fact, this game against Sacramento.
Glad we were able to clear that up.
My God.
Oh, man. And then he loses his cool and does, like I said, does what he does. And a lot of people felt like, you know, that helped get everything going for the Kings and all this other stuff. But it was turned up, man. That game was turned up. I was there with my Warriors fan son, and he.
oh, and this little kid, Warriors, like jerseys, hats, like looked like he just robbed the entire team store.
No, that's right. We had
the skating ring,
and he pulled up on us. Yeah,
like,
that's
man,
right,
who let you out of the house looking like this?
How did the Warriors fandom happen again? Because I know, like, the L.A., he's from L.A.
He is from L.A.
Yeah,
that's
I get that.
Yeah, he tries to put that in there. But it's Steph Curry.
Steph?
Yeah, Steph Curry. And then I can't get too upset about it because I loved the Bulls when I was his age.
Yeah.
Yeah, big Bulls fan. But I asked him a couple times. I don't think it's going to last because I asked him a couple times, what you going to do when Steph leaves? He's like, I don't know. I'll think about it then. I don't know. I was like, yeah, you ain't staying with them boys. You ain't staying with them. And I don't blame you. But yeah, man, a fantastic comeback, a fantastic finish. Kings punched their ticket to the in-season tournament with that win. Golden 1 Center was electric.
Yeah.
I was talking crazy on the way out. I remember that. I was talking crazy, thanking Draymond, talking about he with us, you know, and the Warrior fans that walked by like, yeah, he's a dumbass. To get rid of him. So yeah, this was definitely number two. Could have been an argument for number one.
It could have been. Why this one? Why this one over the one where Steph and De'Aaron were at midcourt? What happened after the Malik shot? By the way,
Steph got the ball and kind of dribbled, lost it a little bit, and
got a shot off though. Yeah. Okay,
it was from like half court, damn near.
Why this one over the other Warriors game where De'Aaron and Steph met at half court and Steph loses the ball and De'Aaron grabs it?
Probably the fact that the in-season tournament played a little bit into it. The setting, you know, at home, like it was
down by 24.
Down
probably.
By 24 yeah. is another one as well. Draymond Green's theatrics and what happens with him is an issue as well. I think this is yes. This is when to set up the Malik shot. Draymond threw the ball away, I believe.
That's right. He
threw it away in the corner.
He absolutely did. He absolutely
and
did.
And the place went bonkers
Draymond
on that one,
Green,
too.
Draymond Green solely responsible for the Sacramento Kings winning this game. Not Malik. I know you mentioned, we talked about Domas to start this in the double-double streak. He shot like seven times in this game.
Yeah, he just didn't do much in this game. He didn't do much at all. So the reasoning is all those things. And it's Warriors too. You know what I'm saying?
Kings, yeah, yeah.
And I know you said the other one was Kings Warriors too, but the setting, the play in at Golden One Center, being down 24, all that stuff. This was one of the, like I said, it could make an argument it's the best game of the season. You know who played well in this game as well? Who had some moments, and I remember as I watched it back, like they're like, oh, they were saying his name a lot and all this other stuff. Sasha.
Oh, another Sasha game. That's two games in a row.
Yeah, Sasha played really well, hit some big time threes. It might have been Sasha's best game as a King. He only had 8 points, but he got a couple steals. I think
plus 17 for those that celebrate.
Well, you know, that plus 17 number sticks out.
Ooh. You know what other number sticks out?
What's that?
You got the box score in front of you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at De'Aaron's free throws.
Yeah.
De'Aaron was 9 of 17
that was,
in this
I remember
game.
He kept missing free throws. That was crazy.
De'Aaron should have ended this game with 36, 37 points.
Yeah, and the Kings should have won by 15.
Yeah. Oh, that is tough.
Do you have the box score in front of you?
I do.
See that starting lineup? That's crazy.
Oh, it's another one of those. Wait, why is this? He didn't.
No, Keegan wasn't there.
That's right. Herter is playing. Yeah, so Harrison is playing for Sacramento Kings forward. Kevin Herter at the three.
Big time game, too.
Chris Duarte, 2 of 4 in his 14 minutes of play.
Oh, man.
Good Trey Lyles day. Great Malik Monk day. Yeah, not too much from Davion there. Keon Ellis gets 5 minutes in this one. Mm.
It was great vibes walking out of the Golden One Center that night. Great, great vibes. Did you stay the whole game for that one?
Nope. I left. I remember when I left. I left. Mm. They were down when I left, and I was furious. Was this the... Yes, it was. This was the game Sugar Free performed at.
It was.
This is absolutely
that's
the game
great knowledge.
Sugar Free performed at. Yeah. I remember, like, they put Sugar Free. Okay. All right.
I was like, oh, let's go, Sugar Free. What'd he say? What'd he say?
Shine the Light? Was it Shine
New
the
Sacramento,
Light?
Sacramento, Shine the Light.
Yeah. You had one job, dog. Yeah, one job, dog.
Shine the light.
One job.
We need to bring him back this year. Complex.
Man, that Steph Curry shot was front of the rim.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was front of the rim. He gets a little more legs under that. It's another moment that the Kings lose.
That was great vibes.
To him. We don't even lose to them. We lose to him. This rivalry is going nowhere. I don't think this rivalry subsides until Steph Curry retires.
Mm. I agree.
And if it was Steph and like high schoolers, I'd be worried about the game just
absolutely.
Because Steph is over there.
Absolutely.
I'm watching now just because I want to watch Draymond throw the ball out of bounds.
I agree with you. I think the rivalry stays, even if it's, you know, it's had national appeal the last couple of years. Maybe if it's just, you know, a regional rivalry or something like that, because, you know, the teams aren't top of the line like the Kings are, but maybe the Warriors are falling off. It's still going to be something that at the very least, well, what I do see happening, at the very least, you come into the Golden One Center, there's going to be a lot of Warrior fans, and there's going to be energy because of that. I think what's going to end up happening is we're going to go back to those.
I just got to the part where Draymond throws the ball out of bounds. So that's a tough sequence. Steph turns the ball over, and the Kings move the ball around the three-point line. Malik gets it.
A step back
three. Step to the side, hits the three. Steph brings the ball up, gets the ball to Draymond, who bounces it directly out of bounds. Like, right to the Warriors bench. Oh, that's amazing.
And the place goes crazy just when he does that.
Absolutely amazing.
And you can't tell me the crowd didn't go crazier because it was Draymond.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's 123-122 when Draymond does that. Here comes Dre. Here comes Dre. Just throws it out of bounds.
Oh,
I guess he thought Steph was cut. He thought Clay was cutting to the sideline.
How could I forget? Zay, you're 100% correct. This is the Draymond Shock outline game.
Oh. How is this game? Well, I know how. This game should have been number one. This game has.
I forgot about that. This is the Shock.
This game has iconic moment after. And is that when Steve Kerr got up and said, get up?
He told him to get up.
Hey, this game might be number two on the list. This is number one in our heart. I got to find the Draymond. I got to find Draymond Green dying. Man.
I think it was in the third quarter. Yeah, because it was during the comeback, I believe.
You know what's pretty dope about YouTube is they, like, the wave that they show you.
Uh-huh.
Those are the most viewed moments. And, like, when you go to this one, the most replayed moment is obviously it's Malik's shot at the end in the sequence with Draymond, Malik, and then Steph at the very end.
Mm.
Oh, Draymond dying has got to be one of the.
And then come to find out he didn't get hit at all.
There's no way Steve Kerr does not hate that man. Just absolutely none. There's absolutely no way. Him and Joe Lacob haven't talked in a year and a half because of that signing.
That was a classic.
I have to find that. I have to see that again. I'm gonna wind up watching this whole game all over again. I'm not going anywhere. I have some thoughts on the Mr. McMahon docuseries that started, and then we're gonna look ahead to week four. Of course, that gets underway tonight.
I was just gonna say we got a little bit of breaking Kings news. Didn't see this coming today.
The Scalabiciere thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Scal's back.
Well, I think all they did was make it official. I think Scal's been back for a while.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
I thought he had
it's still the same thing. I thought he had like a camp invite or something like that.
Well, no, it's the same thing. Oh. It's like when they signed the Red Rooster, but they just announced it a couple days ago.
Sign the Red Rooster.
You have important company business to go attend to. There it is. There it is. Draymond dead at the Golden One Center, live on our YouTube page. What a moment. All right, we'll come back. I'll come back with more. KC's got to step out. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, KC had to step out, man. We're going to close this last hour in some change out strong. So happy that you tapped in. You could be the guest host if you'd like to. Hit us up on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. I have some early thoughts here on the Mr. McMahon docuseries. I started it last night once the W playoffs ended. I'm not sure when I'm going to be able to get back to it. Obviously, I might be able to catch an episode or at least the rest of the second episode after the Cowboys and the Giants wrap up. But I'm an episode and probably a half in. I have some early feelings on this. One, and maybe this is a distinction without a difference. This feels, again, I'm an episode and a half in. I know a lot of people have already finished it. I'm just giving you where I'm at. This feels like a WWE documentary more than it feels like a Vince McMahon documentary. Again, maybe that's a distinction without a difference. It also feels like what is Tony Atlas there for?
Okay, I was hoping you were going to be able to explain that one.
No, there's no reason for Tony Atlas to be there other than he's a wrestler kind of from a different era. He's from a he's a wrestler from a little bit of an earlier era than Hogan. But like,
I was thinking maybe he was important in the locker room back
then.
There's
absolutely no reason for him to be a part of this documentary so far. Like, none whatsoever. He was gone before, I think, like WrestleMania 2. He was certainly gone before WrestleMania 3. He's contributed nothing to the conversation, and I don't understand what he's there for. Number two, I said this to somebody last night. When you're in this era of wrestling, and I think it's far, far different today than it was back then, but guys like Hogan, guys like Vince McMahon, they've spent their entire lives trying to fool the public. The entire business of professional wrestling, like when they're talking about the John Stossel stuff and the Richard Belzer stuff, it's like, it's you got to protect the business. All right, dude, you got to protect the business. That's fine. Part of that is keeping kayfabe. Part of that is making people believe what they're seeing is real. Now, they can tell you in 2024, well, we know it's predetermined, but it's not fake. I just had 10 surgeries. No, we get that. But in 1985, you wanted people to believe what was happening was real, which is why you had wrestlers punching reporters and putting them in headlocks and putting them to sleep and all of that different stuff. And they can't break that. My favorite part of the documentary so far is the 93,173 people that attended WrestleMania 7 or WrestleMania 3, excuse me, and immediately jump cuts to Dave Meltzer going, I think they've told that lie so long they believe that it's true. There were like 78,000 people there. And like, that's not a big deal. Like, that's harmless. It's just when you recite one lie because you believe it to be true over and over and over again, how many different things are you saying over and over and over and over again that you believe to be true? Hogan and Vince McMahon want you to believe that Andre the Giant went to the ring and they had no idea what the outcome was going to be. So let's get this clear. In their mind, the biggest event that they've ever put on with nearly 100,000 people out there, they want you to believe they went to the ring and had no clue how that match was going to end. And Andre said, slam. And I instinctively dropped the big leg and have no idea if he was going to kick out. Why are you talking to us like we're stupid? Again, not a big deal. It's harmless. But it calls into question everything else. The whole idea of this series, you go back and you read that weird Twitter post that Vince McMahon put up. Only weird because he never posts. But he puts up the Twitter posts and they want you to believe that Vince McMahon and Mr. McMahon are there's no distinction between those two. Bro, there's not. The guy who was sitting in that chair with all of the awful surgery and hair dye is Vince McMahon. The guy sitting in that chair with all of the awful surgery and hair dye is Mr. McMahon. Once again, like the WWE and Vince McMahon, it's a distinction without a difference. He's the same guy. That's not to say he doesn't have moments where he paid for someone's wedding or he bought somebody a car or he helped somebody out of a tough situation. It's not to say he's never done anything good in his life. It's to say that the character that we have seen all of these years is far, far closer to the guy who works behind the scenes than most of those people want us to believe. And I'm watching this like this is just a documentary on WWE. At no point did anyone think, because if you're watching along or if you're even at the point where I am, again, halfway through episode two, they kind of went from WrestleMania 3, talk, and then kind of jumped to WrestleMania 6, where they went to the Ultimate Warrior and then, you know, told a story from there. And we'll get to that in a second. There's a really important thing that happened in between WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 6. WrestleMania 4 and 5. Now, why was that important? It wasn't important because of a tournament. It wasn't important because the Macho Man won the title. It wasn't even important because the Mega Powers explode, and that was one of the most valuable storylines that the WWE ever told. That's not it either. Anybody remember where WrestleMania 4 and 5 were? It's the only time that WrestleMania has ever been in the same place 2 years in a row. It was at Trump Plaza in Atlantic City. Between WrestleMania 3 and WrestleMania 6, Vince McMahon is introduced to Donald Trump for the very first time. And nobody thought that was an important piece of information for this documentary. No one thought in a Vince McMahon documentary where his wife went on to serve in that man's cabinet, nobody thought, let's tell the story of when Vince McMahon hosted WrestleMania at a future president's casino. Just skipped over it because we wanted to talk about the Ultimate Warrior. Fine. You talk about the Ultimate Warrior, you're talking about the title, taking the title off of Hogan, and then you talk about how it doesn't work. Okay? It doesn't work. Let's keep it moving. Let's go back to Hulk Hogan. Let's tell this story about a real life situation involving Iraq and Kuwait and real world events. And they say, let's take advantage of these real world events and let's build a storyline around this involving Sergeant Slaughter turning his back on America and being an Iraqi sympathizer. Vince McMahon says on camera, the storyline was working until the war broke out. And then they cut to George Bush addressing that the WWE, or that, excuse me, about the America getting involved in this conflict. No one went to Vince McMahon. No one sitting across from Vince McMahon, whoever is conducting these interviews or whoever is editing this together. No one said, no, Mr. McMahon. In fact, it wasn't working. In fact, people were incredibly turned off by this storyline. No, Mr. McMahon, what you were doing wasn't working because the WrestleMania 7 you were talking about was booked at the LA Coliseum with 100,000 people in mind for that stadium. 4 weeks prior to the event taking place, you moved WrestleMania 7 into the LA Coliseum or into the LA Sports Arena. You had sold roughly 12,000 tickets at that point. That venue seated roughly 12,000 people. Let's move it inside. Let's figure it out. Now, you have said till you're blue in the face that it was security issues. You have said that the United States military paid they paid to secure the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl had to be secure, and the United States military said, we'll take care of it, NFL, but they weren't going to do the same thing for WrestleMania 7. And you say that's why you moved it inside, but you say on camera without being challenged that your storyline of an Iraqi turncoat was working when it very clearly wasn't. It wasn't just fans being turned off and WrestleMania tickets not selling. It was that your ratings were down. It was the fact that guys like Bob Costas and a number of other celebrities pulled out of WrestleMania 7 in Los Angeles saying, yeah, we don't really want to be a part of this. And I just look at this like, this is the story that, like, I'm watching with someone who's not like the wrestling fan that I am. And feel the need to say out loud multiple times, I said, that's not true. That's a lie. They're not telling a genuine story. And that's what this, again, an episode and a half in, that's what this Netflix documentary is. It's a completely professional wrestling story. Now, how this moves along, again, I understand there are people who have already watched 6 episodes. I'll get there as soon as I can. But when I spot lies that I know, when I spot things that I know aren't real, why am I going to put any belief in what I see later on? They may go at Vince McMahon tough when it comes to, the stuff that's been made public about him in recent years. but they're not challenging him on any part of his story. And what story is Vince McMahon telling? He's not telling anything of substance. He's just talking about his company. And as someone who has consumed a ton of professional wrestling and WWE content, I could not be more bored with what I'm watching. The one thing I've seen for the very first time that I actually thought was kind of cool was when Vince's father passed away. They showed a clip that I believe was at Madison Square Garden of Howard Finkel saying a moment of silence for Vincent J. McMahon. I had never seen that before. It's the only thing so far in an hour and a half that I've never seen. And I have a ton of friends who are huge wrestling fans who have texted me like, wait till you get to the Chris Benoit stuff. I just can't imagine that any of this is any good. And I'll talk about it next week. I'll finish it this weekend for sure. I'll try to watch a little bit tonight, but I'll finish it by next week. And once we get through, you know, it'll be tough next week because we've got obviously we got a big weekend of NFL, which starts tonight. And then we got Media Day Monday. We got the first Kings practice on Tuesday. There's a lot on our plate next week, but I'll make time for this Vince McMahon stuff, even if it's during a commercial. Because I told you I didn't have high hopes for this. The second I saw the trailer, it's like, I don't have high hopes for this. And everybody took it as, oh, you don't think they're going to be hard enough on Vince McMahon? Well, it's not just that. It's that this is just this is just the same stuff I hear over and over and over again. The point of talking to Vince McMahon is to be able to get something that we've never heard before. We're getting nothing. And Vince essentially acknowledges that at the beginning. I'm not going to tell you everything, but I'll try to make it interesting. Mr. McMahon, you failed. And Netflix, again, as a work in progress, has completely failed. I'm going to finish the documentary, but so far, I could not be less interested in it.